Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. It is written, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It is written, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ye call me master, and obey me not. Ye call me light, and see me not. Ye call me the way, and walk me not. Ye call me life, and desire me not. Ye call me wise, and follow me not. Ye call me rich, and ask me not. Ye call me eternal, and seek me not. Ye call me gracious, and trust me not. Ye call me noble, and serve me not. Ye call me mighty, and honor me not. Ye call me just, and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not.
Oh God.
and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, The Days of Noah. The Apostle Peter said, And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood of the world upon the ungodly. The question seems to be, what were those people doing back there that they were so wicked that God destroyed the world by the flood? This question is especially curious when we consider that the Lord Jesus himself said, And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and took them all away. The account of their activities is found in Genesis chapter 6. The first two verses tell us that the sons of God intermarried with the daughters of men upon the basis that they were fair to look upon. Paul speaks of the Christian marrying only in the Lord. When you marry, be sure you get your prospective spouse in the Lord before you get them in bed. A child of God who marries a child of the devil is going to have trouble with his father-in-law. Verse 3 says that God said, My spirit shall not always strive with men. That is easy to understand. If you knock on someone's door and nobody answers, how long are you going to stand there and knock until you realize nobody's home? God has been knocking on some doors for a long time, and nobody's home. God knows if he lets some people live 1,000 years, they would never answer. In this case, he was gracious enough to tell them he would give them 120 years to shape up. And after that, you've had it. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness and could not count one convert in 120 years. We are not required to be successful as evangelists. We are required only to be faithful in the proclamation of the Word of God. The fourth verse tells us that because of these marriages, there were giants in the land in those days. Just like the days of Noah, there are giants in the earth now. Most of the giants now are playing basketball. Oh, how we love our giants. There are giants today also of another kind. How about the giants of drugs? The giants of illicit sex, perversion, and violence. Of course, we must not forget the other giants. The Apostle Paul was a giant. Stephen was a giant. As I look back over the years of my long ministry, I remember the old days in Bible college and can truthfully say, there were giants in the land in those days. The fifth verse has an ominous thought. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The television programs sometimes are structured to stir the evil imaginations of our thoughts continually. The word image is in the word imagination. God looks into the heart, and God sees the images in our hearts. He sees the images in our hearts today. It would be embarrassing if people could see the images that sometimes parade around in our hearts. A battle is going on even as we speak for the minds of men. Paul can give us the solution in Corinthians when he says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Verses 6 and 7 say that God repented that he had made man, and was grieved in his heart, and decided to destroy man whom he had created. Verse 8 and 9 lets us in on the grace of God. The first time grace is mentioned in the Bible is in the salvation of Noah and his deliverance from the flood. God mentioned the name of Noah 5 times in 2 verses. Listen to this. But Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Five times, Noah, 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 Noah. Verses 11 and 12 say that God looked upon the earth. The people on the earth might not look up to God, but God was looking down at them, and he did not like what he saw. He said that all flesh had corrupted themselves, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence and corruption is the best way to describe our lifestyle today. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Sounds like ominous words for the present day when we remember that Peter prophesied that this present world would be destroyed by fire, as the old was destroyed by water. Ladies and gentlemen, if God spares the present world from the destruction promised by Peter, he will have to apologize to the people of Noah's day for drowning them. Verse 17 gives God's plan for destruction. God said, "I will bring a flood of water and destroy all flesh." Someone asked George Bernard Shaw, the British playwright, one time, "If there would be another flood today, and you could pick the 8 people to survive the deluge, who would you pick?" Shaw said, "I'd let them all drown." Well, God had a little more grace than that. He preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought the flood on the world of the ungodly. Ladies and gentlemen, here is God's plan for delivering Noah. First, God said to Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." God told Noah to build an ark. He did not tell him to build a whole fleet of arks, just one and only one. Sometimes the church is called the old ship of Zion. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He never said he would build a whole fleet of churches. He only mentioned one church, a church that would be launched on the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not concerned about saying that I belong to that one church and that others don't. I am concerned, however, about taking inventory of my own life and asking, am I in that one church that Jesus built? The specifications of the ark are given. It was to be 300 cubits long, or about 547 feet long. It was to be 50 cubits wide, that would be about 90 feet wide. It was to be about 30 cubits high, that would be about 45 feet high. It was to have 3 decks. This ark was made because God told Noah, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood upon the earth to destroy all flesh." This flood was to be a universal flood. It covered all the mountains. Water seeks its own level. If the water rose 5 miles high to cover Mount Everest, it had to be 5 miles high everywhere. If the universal flood, if it was a universal flood because all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, was to be killed. Only a universal flood could wipe out everybody. It was a universal flood because Noah built an ark. If not universal, he could have easily been able to flee to higher ground. It was a universal flood also because of the illustration that Peter gave about the flood when he said that they were from heavens from of old, an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God, by which means the world that there was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire. Since Peter describes and compares the destruction of the whole world by fire to a destruction by water, it would not make sense to say the flood of Noah's day was a local flood, because hell is not going to be a local brush fire. "Make thee an ark, one ark." Jesus said, "I will build my church, one church." Not only did God tell Noah to build an ark, one ark, He told him also, he gave him the specifications. The door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof. God said, the door. How many doors in the ark? Just one door is all the ark was to have. When you think of the church, the old ship of Zion, how many doors does it have? How many ways are there to get into it? How many ways are there to be saved? Jesus answered that question for us when he said, in the 10th chapter of John, I am the door of the sheep. If you don't go into the ark of safety through Jesus, you don't get in. There is no other way. Remember, Peter said in Acts chapter 4, there is therefore now no other name under heaven that is given among men whereby we must be saved. The church belongs to the Lord. It is his, and you go in his way or not at all. When the ark was completed, God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. He did not say, go thou and all thy house into the ark. If he had said, go into the ark, that sounds like God is on the outside. Jesus is in his church. He does not tell us to go in, he tells us to come in. Come in and be with him. His statement is very suggestive when he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The mercy of God to the human race is seen in the statement when God went in and sent Noah into the ark. He said, yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. After all that was done, God delayed the judgment for 7 days. God has striven with some of you for more than 7 days, some for more than 7 years. But there comes a time when God will let you alone. If you leave God alone, God will leave you alone. Some of you who are listening to this broadcast will never be bothered by the Holy Spirit of God again. Remember, Jesus is the door, the one door, and the only door. We must go in through him. How do you go through him? On the day of Pentecost, when the people were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, it is said that the Lord added to the church day by day those that were saved. Noah built one ark, and the ark had one door. God told Noah also, a window shalt thou make in the ark. A window. How many windows is a window? A window is one window. Now, isn't that something? Noah built one ark, and it had one door, and now we learn it had one window. How could one window be enough for the boat that was large as that with three decks and all those rooms? For one thing, we don't know how large the window was, but we can be sure that it was large enough for those in the ark to see all they needed to see. How many windows does the church have? I know of only one where we can get any light on spiritual matters. That one window is the inspired word of God, the Bible. The scripture tells us, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Peter tells us in his second epistle, and we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well to take heed, as into a lamp shining in a dark place. The Bible throws all the light we need on any spiritual matter. It is the only light. It is the only window. It is the Bible and the Bible alone. It may not give all the light we sometimes would like to have, but it has all the light that God wants us to have. Whatever you want to know about heaven, hell, the judgment, the Holy Spirit, baptism, speaking in tongues, or whatever, the Bible has all the information that God wants you to have. Yet as true as this is, it seems that many people prefer to live in the dark. They pull the drapes on that one window. They never consult that book during the week. The chorus of a well-known gospel song should be changed a little bit. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stumbling in the dark, stumbling in the dark. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stumbling around in the dark. Think of it. The Lord told Noah to build one ark. The ark had one door. The ark had one window. And then, marvel of marvels, the ark was made of one kind of wood. God told Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." The ark was to be made of one kind of wood. He could not make it of oak or pine or ash or hickory or chestnut. The Lord specified gopher wood. An interesting question arises here. Of what kind of material does the Lord build the old ship of Zion? Just one kind of wood. And what wood is that? We find the answer in Revelation, the 21st chapter, when we are told about those who go to heaven. "There shall enter into it nothing that is unclean, or that maketh an abomination or a lie, but only they who are written in the book of life." The church is composed of one kind of wood, the wood of a saintly life. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, Paul warns that the works of the flesh are manifest. After he mentions drunkenness, immorality, sorcery, and many other things, he concludes by saying that these shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The warning we find before the flood came ought to be sufficient. The earth was corrupt before God and was filled with violence. The imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. They were not allowed in the ark, and they have no part of the New Testament church either. There is one ark, it has one door, it has one window, and it has one kind of wood. Note also that the ark had one family in it. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, only one family. Wonder how many families there are in the old ship of Zion. In Ephesians chapter 3 we note, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." The Father names his family. Wonder why we can't be content with wearing the name that the Lord has given us as the family of God? Christian is a name of the heavenly family. It is a name of the family of God on earth. It is the name of the family of God in heaven. Why can't we wear the heavenly name in the church here on earth? It will be the same that we wear in heaven, the same one we wear on earth. There will be no other family name there. Ladies and gentlemen, can you go to heaven without being a member of any particular denomination? Can you go to heaven without being a Methodist, a Baptist, or a Catholic, or a Presbyterian? Most folk would say, why, yes. You don't have to be a member of any particular denomination. Let me ask you this. Can you go to heaven without being a Christian? Most religious people would say, why, no. Well, if that be true, why be anything else but a Christian, and a Christian only? After all, there is only one family in the church. As for me, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. This may be getting monotonous, but let me remind you that there was one ark, one door, one window, one wood, one family, and now guess what? There was only one sign. After the flood was over, God told Noah, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." That was God's sign. People might get worried later and think that there would be another flood. They would say it could happen again. God said, "When you see my bow in the clouds, that is a sign of my promise that I will never again destroy the earth by flood." We have God's word on it. He has promised never again. He said this in giving us the token that I have made with all flesh of the earth. As long as the world shall stand, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease. We have God's word for that. He has promised. Peter reminds us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Has the one ark the old ship of Zion, no sign? Yes, there is a sign given to us. That sign is the Lord's Supper. Paul said, as oft as ye do this, ye show forth the Lord's death until he come. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the promise that he made when he said, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. If we sometimes forget the promise, the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day reminds us of the promise of God. It is our sign. It is the sign of the cross. Until the day that Jesus comes, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, seed, time, and harvest, there will be the faithful who will observe the feast on every Lord's Day until the world stands. Ye show forth his death till he come. Ladies and gentlemen, remember the days of Noah. Remember, too, that Jesus said, As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. There is one ark, one door, one window, one wood, one family, and one sign. And that is the way it was in the days of Noah. Noah, 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 Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.